Honestly,
Yeah.
I'm not one for fluff, and I'm one for like very specific, tangible, actionable answers because we can talk our way through whatever, but like the truth of it is that creating actual time to connect has been everything. For us, that looks like coffee walks. I mean, that's the name of our podcast
I
because
love it.
it literally has changed our dynamic to have those moments. We have our family virtual assistant create date days and nights, and they don't have to be fancy. Literally, today was blocking off 3 hours for us to go play pickleball and have a coffee date and look over our upcoming travel. It doesn't have to be fancy, but being very intentional about creating that time has been incredibly important.
I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. We are back on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Okay. I almost missed it this time.
Almost missed it. Okay. We've got a really, really cool couple with us today, folks. She's a trauma surgeon, a professor, a founder of an organization called the Modern Mom Lab. He is an emergency room physician, a medical communicator who translates complex medicine into clean and clear, actionable advice for patients and their families. Aside from them being medical doctors, they've got some really interesting stuff to tell us both personally and professionally. Welcome aboard Brittany Bankhead and Brian Kendall. Thanks for coming.
Yay. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. We're excited.
Stoked
yeah,
to be here.
We are too. I know we've had to cancel and move things a couple of times. So I really wanted to get into your story a little bit. And so let's just start there, if that's okay.
Sure.
And you have been married twice to each other.
To each other. That's right.
Yeah.
Let's unpack that a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that story and your background and so forth. How you got together, went apart, and come back together again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it.
Oh, you want me to? All right. All right. So, well, we met in college. I was doing an extra semester of college because I loved it so much. And Brittany was in her senior year of college. And we met in a medical communications class.
That is ironic.
It is ironic.
Now that I think about it. Yeah.
Communication.
Yeah. And yeah. And so that's kind of where we first met. We started to date after I had left college. Brittany went off and did her master's in Miami, and I went off into the Peace Corps and was in Albania. And so we started dating internationally.
Which again is funny because he had said, put me somewhere that I can't communicate with anyone in the outside world.
Yeah.
And then we met. So they had plopped him in the middle of
Albania.
Albania. Wow. And
yeah.
So, but anyway, we dated long distance while he was in the Peace Corps and I was in Miami in grad school and had only ever known long distance. He ended up coming back for family reasons early. He came to Miami first. We had our first kiss on the beach and were engaged a week later after 6 months of dating.
How long have you been sort of like talking and dating long distance?
Like six months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
so pretty quickly. Yeah. Pretty quickly.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. And we were super young. I mean, I was barely 21. You were
23, 24. Yeah.
We got married 7 months later, lived in a teeny tiny apartment.
In Miami.
One casserole a week, just, you know, really bonded over no money and the whole world ahead of us.
Had you seen each other at all during that 6 or 7 months prior?
No. All of our conversations, this is before even like Zoom.
Or FaceTime.
So,
or
FaceTime, everything. So all of our conversations were over GChat. Or Militel.
Like
this military phone system that you could buy international minutes on. And the lady would come on and be like, you have 5 minutes remaining.
Oh my
like,
God! Oh, yes.
So you date and have a kiss on the beach, and you get married 7 months later. Must have been a hell of a kiss.
It was. Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't like fireworks.
What?
Sorry. Yeah. I don't know
if I've ever that's seen. Okay.
Okay, so is that sort of like So I want to unpack this. You know, I do a lot of couples therapy.
Oh, you're in trouble.
She's like, so much here.
Yeah. So no. But like the quickness of getting married, sort of like coming together quickly, you know, after being doing the long distance, did that come into play with sort of like the disintegration of the first marriage, if
absolutely.
You will?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what's interesting to me is that that was young, and looking back on it, we were young, but at the time, we were old. Like, all of our friends were already married.
Due to our cultural, religious surroundings, we were very mature.
Yeah.
And that played in a lot to it.
Let me stop you for a second. When you say our cultural and religious surroundings, tell me what you mean by that.
Probably more me than him, grew up in a very conservative household, which meant very specific type of values with which I was raised. He had also chosen a specific set of values, and both of those meant a very early marriage. And then culturally, we went to a university where a lot of our friends shared those same type of conservative and Christian values, more religious affiliated than spiritually affiliated, I think we would agree now. And that was a very big part. And I think, if I'm being honest, a lot of my individual personality was very like, I've got it.
Got to get it done.
You know, I've got things planned, and this is how it's going to go, and this is our timeline. And so that certainly factored in as well, on my own accord.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're married how long? And kind of tell us the timeline of the marriage and then the divorce and all that.
So there was a lot that happened in our first marriage because our goal was to both go to medical school. We wanted to go together. So we started that journey together about a year after we had been married. Medical school then took us, we had our son when we were in our fourth year of medical school. And then we had to do the match, which is this couple's match. And long story short, I ended up in New York City. Brittany ended up initially in Dallas. And so she was with our son in Dallas.
And then we kind of flip-flopped, and that was for 2 years. Then when I was in Michigan and he was in Dallas, and then we moved to Austin. And in the middle of it, we had another baby, and it was a lot. And then we moved to Boston for fellowship, and then there was COVID. So you add in these massive swings in long-term family across the country in COVID, where we're both frontline healthcare workers and
long-distance marriage,
just everything. Yeah. And we were married for 13 years.
The first time.
Built the big, beautiful dream forever home. We were finally both attendings, and then everything just crumbled at that point, and we were sitting in this giant, beautiful dream home that was completely empty and void. And it kind of was the literally perfect prime example of our life where everything looks perfect outside and on the inside it's empty and cold. And we were finally just done.
So who was it, one of you more than the other sort of?
It was like, me.
Okay. It you was were like, me this more, is not working.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we both knew it wasn't working, but I was the pushier one. I post-COVID, post-PTSD, post-suicidal ideation, I came out with a lot of counseling and really started to dive into, I don't want to live my life miserable anymore. And that's on a lot of different spaces and ways. And this is one of them. I was definitely the pusher, and he finally was like, no, and so we were in a counseling session and finally said, okay, that's it.
That's it.
I think too, that the other reason, and you never know going into divorce, but we really, when we sat down and talked about it, it was like, you know, divorce also doesn't have to look like it looks for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we could pave our own way for what divorce looks like. And you can't know. You're not promising the togetherness, but, you know. And so the idea that we could potentially create a divorced new family situation, I think also helped alleviate the scaredness and the sadness of what that was going to be.
Our whole goal with the divorce was we put the kids first and put their well-being and stability in front and center. And so like for our divorce, we had just one attorney who just basically filled out the paperwork. And Brittany and I figured everything else out. There wasn't
He told us, if you can have a dining room conversation and figured it all out, okay.
Yeah.
Here's the things to note. We did it all in one shot.
Yep.
And we actually went to his office. We signed together.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought houses in the same neighborhood with the pool in between and had a golf cart to go back and forth.
Pool, not like two houses back to back. Yeah.
Yeah. and we both work a lot of shifts, obviously for our jobs. And so we had a completely open door policy, obviously with the text before of, I'm missing the kids. Can I come give them a hug? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm coming back home. I could really just use, some time. Yep, for sure. And that was very open. And then obviously unknown, we divorced for good. People have asked like, oh, did you know you were going to get back together? No. We did not divorce thinking it was in the cards to get back together, which I think was the key to us being able to improve and grow in the ways that we did.
Yeah.
Because unknown to one another, we had totally dove in ourselves.
Like personal journeys on each on ourselves.
Unbeknownst to the other, which was the key to everything.
So let me ask
two and a half.
Go ahead. Please. Go ahead.
I was just saying, then 2.5 years later, after that, we were sitting at the pool and kind of looked across the pool at each other of like, wait a second.
Because we were both at the place where we had been dating and kind of, had done
dating
so much work on ourselves.
People?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Dating different people? Okay.
Dating so different people.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're clearly, 2.5 years after a divorce, it was like, okay, now, and having done work on ourselves, now I know what I want.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, okay, I'm looking for this person. He was doing the same. And then we were at the pool with our kids sitting at this one corner of the pool. And we kind of looked at each other, and in my mind, it was like, oh my gosh, I think he's what I'm looking for, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, that's what was my mind too. It was like, oh, and I could really see all the changes in Brittany that she had made. And it was just like, wow, like So that's what I want.
So this in-between time, let's call it, I know that came from someplace. There's a Stranger Things. I don't remember the in-between. This in-between time, so you were in Boston during the pandemic. Where did where were you physically when the divorce happened?
In Lubbock.
Yeah.
Lubbock, Texas.
The two of you had both gone to Texas.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
And so you get divorced and now you're living in this neighborhood that's close enough so that each of you can pop in, see the kids. It's easier to share the kids. Tell us I don't want to spend a lot of time on this part because I do want to get to marriage number two, but tell us a little bit about how you managed the emotions, if there were any emotions between the two of you during that 2.5 year period where you're living down the street from each other.
Ugh, I like how you look at me.
Yeah.
It was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
We I think at the very beginning we kept saying we're always going to be family. Like your ride is hitched to mine no matter what. Like we've got these kids for life. And another thing our divorce attorney said, which I will credit him for, was you can either be 50-yard line parents or you can be end zone to end zone parents. Mm-hmm. And when your kid looks up in the stands, what are they going to see? And are they going to have to look in two different places or one? And it was like, oh, man, that is a really good both analogy and true because our son was playing football at the time. And so that really stuck. And we just kept making small decisions every day, at least on my end.
Yeah.
Small decisions that tried to keep that in mind and tried to keep we both are really good parents and never wanted to take that away from either of our kids. And so as long as we led with that, the rest just kind of followed. And truly, I think all of the work we were doing on ourselves also left a lot of room for being a good co-parent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat.
Because I personally felt whole, like being able to be myself.
Yes.
And I realized that during our first marriage, I had really given up a lot of myself and wasn't the person that I wanted to be. And so now all of a sudden being able to take up some of these hobbies that I hadn't been doing and just, you know, spending time with family and all of that really made me a much better person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're sitting at the pool, you're looking at each other and you're going, oh, wow, this might be my guy and this might be my girl. And isn't this strange? So who says it first or how did it like happen? And then what'd you do from there?
I felt like it happened simultaneously to me.
It did. It was like back to early dating where you're kind of sticking your toe out there and trying to like get a feel because he had been dating someone till very recently before that, which I knew about. So I didn't know that they were no longer dating. And so I think there was some dabbling and some small talk. And then I remember you said, well, if the question were if I'm dating anyone, the answer would be no or something like that. And it was like, okay. And then it was like, oh, well, no, yeah, he is really hot, actually. That's what I remember.
That's what I remember.
And then
too.
We went and took the kids to get Mexican food that night. And
It just kind of started from there. We started kind of to date a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
what did you tell the kids? What did you tell the kids, if anything?
We didn't tell them for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. We tried to make sure that was something that was going because my biggest concern with it was like, okay, I see that things have changed, but are they actually really changed?
Mm-hmm.
Like if we get back together, are all the same problems going to like rear their head? And then all that's going to happen is it's not going to work.
And for a minute, I think we had to work through some kinks because we had only known that unhealthy version of our relationship. And so getting back together, it was very easy to kind of slip back into those unhealthy habits, even though we had become two whole people. And so then we had some sticky points of having to get through that and then be like, no, we didn't want that version of us. We want this new version of us, which took some of a roller coaster, but was why we didn't tell the kids for a while until we worked into that. And then we started dreaming real big. And then it was really fun to move forward.
Yeah.
So how long from this sort of aha time at the pool to when you're back married, how much time passes this time around in between?
Yeah, we got back together like late July / August. And then we actually went to the courthouse in November.
November, yeah.
What did people say? Like, what did your family say? I'm assuming that the kids were happy because every kid wants their parents together. But what's the reactions?
So it's funny.
Yeah.
So our son actually was not all that excited.
Yeah.
I think we did such a good job co-parenting. Both kids were like, well, if your parents are divorced, it just means they live in different houses and nothing else changes.
That's what
like,
he was telling his friends. Yeah.
We're glad you feel that way. But he was kind of pissed and he was like,
Why did you get divorced?
Why did you get divorced if you were just going to get back together? Like, why did we go through all of that and do that? And
it was a good question.
Understandably so. And that's how he felt. Our families were ecstatic. They were so happy. They always wanted it to work out, but had respected what we had done.
Wow. That's a cool story. I have a totally offbeat question, which I get these all the time as you you're talking. So as a ER doc and a trauma surgeon, you let your son play football?
Really?
Great question.
That is a great
I'm just curious about that.
You know you're not going to get a consistent answer.
So, like, tell us about that because I am a Jewish grandmother and I stopped going to my grandson's football games because and he's little. I just couldn't watch.
So we have had many, many, many conversations about this.
Yes.
Our son, you know, it's one of those things of balance of like, we have let our son, we've told him all the information. We have given him all of our knowledge and everything else. And ultimately, that's his passion. His 100% passion is football. And to not allow him to play it would be denying who he is. Mm-hmm. And so we make sure that he has good equipment. We make sure that.
That's where the then parental part comes in is we don't want him to wake up when he's 21 and be like, my parents didn't let me do the one thing I love in life. Yeah. However, there's a lot of things our kids love that are not good for them. So the catch 22 to that is if you're going to play football, then you need to make sure you practice this much, that you wear this kind of equipment, that you eat this much protein, that you do things in this way, and that you listen to your coaches and that your grades are this. And so, you know, we just are trying to give him the best toolbox we can for the thing that he loves, and it comes with risks. And I think the other thing we know as a trauma surgeon and an ER doctor is that, man, oh man, like, synchronized swimming can lead to an awful thing.
Yeah. Just,
right. You know, anything,
and
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so, sorry, I just
it's
had
hard.
To ask she, that. I
could, no, we could, a great we could, question. Yeah.
She's not a football fan. We could do hates when a football team hits a home run. She doesn't like that at all. But let me ask you this question. So stray away from football for just a moment. So you're back and you're married again. Do you ever find yourselves where you say, oh, I'm leaning back into what happened the first time around, and I need to change course and fix that? And what does that look like, and how do you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our relationship is foundationally and systemically
different.
Totally different and better. I think when the problems arise, it's when our individual selves
start to go
back to our pre, you know, younger, more immature versions that we have to work on. And so then you see that in the relationship.
Well, and I think what I've appreciated about Brittany is that when you're doing it yourself, you don't always recognize it. And so it's been really nice because Brittany at some points, and I think I've done maybe the same for you at sometimes, is like, hey, you're going backwards. Like, you're starting to go back to those same habits that you're doing in the first marriage, where you're completely deferring to me. You're not, you're not standing up for what you want. You're, you know, and so it's good to have her kind of point that out. And then it kind of snaps me out of it. And like, wait a second, you're right. Like, I need to be my own person. And so, yeah, that's but because we have so much history, I mean, we've known each other like 20 years now. Yeah. She knows me very well. I know her very well. And so it's very nice to have a partner who is willing to say something like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And so let me ask you this in terms of your relationship now. How do you balance? You both have busy careers. You both have, I'm going to assume, fairly emotionally draining careers, at least on occasion. Mm. So how do you balance those careers with raising your children and at the same time keeping yourselves close?
Honestly, I'm not one for fluff, and I'm one for like very specific, tangible, actionable answers, because we can talk our way through whatever. But like, the truth of it is that creating actual time to connect has been everything. Mm-hmm. So for us, that looks like coffee walks. I mean, that's the name of our podcast because
I love it.
It literally has changed our dynamic to have those moments. We have our family virtual assistant create date days and nights, and they don't have to be fancy. Literally today was blocking off 3 hours for us to go play pickleball and have a coffee date and look over our upcoming travel. It doesn't have to be fancy, but being very intentional about creating that time has been incredibly important. And I think too, we give each other a lot more space on, I need to, in terms of the emotional bandwidth of other things going on. Like, I need to just emotionally dump this and we don't need to figure it out. I just need to get it out. And we don't try to fix everything anymore. Like, we just give each other the space to feel it and then support. And then that's all it has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. We call that rant or rate or rant or remedy.
Where
are you wanting a solution or are you just wanting to vent, right?
Yeah.
Rant or remedy. Exactly. I love this discussion. And I mean, people can learn so much about you. I'm glad you guys are doing your podcast because your story is interesting. One of the things that I'm seeing with both of you in just the short time that we've been sitting is just the mutual respect that you have for each other.
Mm.
And as you talked about the breakup, the marriage, the divorce process, and how you were able to keep that civil, which not a lot of people can do because they're very emotional. And David can tell you war stories about, you know, people losing their mind during divorce. But you guys really respect each other. And I can, you know, I can see it, I can feel it. And I think that that's probably one of the things that keeps you together is that ability to really see each other wholly and appreciate, you know, the good stuff and the bad.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's no bigger cheerleader that I have than Brittany for me. And Brittany doesn't have any bigger fans than me for her. Like we are constantly celebrating each other's personal achievements and knowing that, like, you know, when she is doing well, like that's her happy place. And so then that makes me even want to support it more, and the same vice versa. I feel like she really supports the things that I want to do, which I just love. It's so nice to be able to have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask one last question. Brittany, you have a pet project, this Modern Mom Lab. Tell our folks what that is exactly.
Yeah. So Modern Mom Lab was it is my warm hug to the world, basically, which is, you know, no small feat, but I, being a mom, any mom knows, that it can become your biggest identity and also be your biggest, hurdle all at the same time. Your greatest happiness, your greatest frustration, and all these things. And I just was so sad. I grew up with a mom who was at home, but I am a very working mom. And I just have hated this notion that you have to fit into whatever box society tells us we have to fit into. You're either a working mom or a stay-at-home mom. You're a this or you're a that. And I'm just over it. And I was over being told that because I'm a working mom, I can't do any of these things or have this kind of relationship with my children. And in the same way, I have very close women to me as moms who, because they have been at home, have been unable to find meaningful, flexible work that actually means something. And so this is an entire project to help give moms actionable ways to live out the dream of their own, not anybody else's dream, and to not have to check any boxes. And right now, that specifically means that for women at home who want to have a flexible job and truly be able to utilize skills that they've had, we train them how to become family virtual assistants. And then for moms who have these busy, high-powered careers who need help with just those mom things, we take these family virtual assistants and we pair them up, and now both of them get to mutually partner and benefit from one another. And my own FVA and I have just cried tears over how much we have changed each other's lives. And so that is what I am setting out to do in the world.
And there have been the people, the women that you are helping have also cried tears of happiness. On both sides. Like, it has changed everybody that you have worked with so far. Their lives have truly been changed for the better. And it's been really cool to watch.
There's that cheerleader we were talking about.
So proud because she has literally built this thing from the ground up, and the struggle is real.
It is.
She has put probably more hours into this than like it's probably like more hours than medical school. That, you know, like it has been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be fulfilling. And if folks want to, and we're going to put your Instagram, both your Instagram handles, I guess we call them handles still, Instagram names, in our show notes. But if folks want to find out more about this Modern Mom Lab, we'll put this in as well. What's the best way to reach you?
Honestly, I'll have all the info on my Instagram page. So that is totally fine. Or they can just go to modernmomlab.com.
Excellent. That's great. It has been so much fun talking to you.
You
guys have so much to share that people can learn, I think, in their relationship. And they don't have to be doctors to learn it. And we thank you for taking the time. You both have been great. I know you're coming from Charleston, South Carolina. You probably have family or patients to deal with. Again, we appreciate you both being here, Brian and Brittany. Folks, we are the Bullitts, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S. Find us on all social media platforms at The Bullitts. Hope you enjoyed this discussion. If you want more, subscribe and join us next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.